Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist. Brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
I welcome him to say that even more. Every time he says that, I'll show him another picture.
He's lying.
He's lying.
I smell a rat here. The guy is crooked as a snake.
He may be friends with Rudy Giuliani, Victoria Tunzing, and Joe DiGenova. I'm almost positive that being friends with those three people is not a crime.
It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Everybody knows that.
It's not a question of saying what proof. It says what allegations have been made.
Man, you're a liberal hack.
Manu, you're a liberal hack. Yeah, I got to have that drop, by the way, just for future reference. Talking to Manu Raju from CNN as he chased her down the hallway. Hey, happy Friday. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you are with us. But what a day. There's a lot going on today. We got the fallout from the impeachment. Yep. We got the baseball controversy with people wearing buzzer devices somewhere on their body, allegedly.
This is
huge.
It
really is.
Dirty baseball.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's true. Coming up a little later this hour, Trish Regan from Fox Business Network is going to join us. And Joe Schaffstall, if you don't know him, is with the Washington Free Beacon. He's written a very interesting piece on some of the prosecutors who came to St. Louis this week to show their support for our circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, and her dazzling 23% prosecution rate of serious criminals. It'll be fascinating to hear what Joe has to say about that. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't never heard from him before, we're going to get him on here at about 8:20. Right now, let's get to J.J. Carafano, please.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
Jim Carafano, how are you?
I am many things, my friend, but a liberal hack is probably not one of them.
No, you're not a liberal hack. Because you do policy, not politics, I've heard.
Absolutely.
That's
true. This is so true.
Very true. You know, the one thing that's kind of gotten covered up the last couple of days is the whole Soleimani fallout. And, I heard that, I know there's been a little bit of debate over the reasons they gave for the strike, that there were pending attacks on embassies and a dispute over whether everybody knew that or not. And now an Israeli ambassador has come out and said that was the case. Have you heard his soundbite?
Yeah, but here, do you have it? Do you want to play it?
I do. Let me play this real quick.
Okay,
cut 22, please.
Soleimani, what he did, what he was planning to do to U.S. targets, to your embassies, not against Israel, not against the Iranian people. So I think the decision of President Trump was an important decision.
Wait, forgive me, because the President Trump and the White House has been attacked for saying that Soleimani was going to attack U.S. embassies, saying there was no proof of that. But you're saying there was?
Absolutely. For 19 years, Mr. Soleimani was the mastermind of terrorism in the region and in the world. We saw attacks in Europe.
Have you seen proof that they were going to attack U.S. embassies?
He was going to plan attacks against American targets, against European targets, and against the Middle Eastern targets.
Well, there you have it. I'd trust Mossad any day of the week. What's your reaction to that, Jim?
Well, you know, it's kind of irrelevant. The whole argument about an imminent attack is really a red herring. If you are a terrorist under the authorization to use military force, you are a lawful target. It's just like if you see an enemy behind the front line and you kill him, it's not a war crime, right? I mean, he doesn't have to be pulling a trigger, right? So he's already a lawful target. So whether he was planning on doing something tomorrow, that's completely irrelevant. And this notion about, well, you should consult with Congress, That's not in the Constitution. Now, we've written many times on this and said, look, if you are using the military in an offensive manner overseas, and it looks like that might lead to some, that it is prudent for the president to consult with us. It's not required, but it's prudent. It's the right thing to do. We go forward as a nation. But that's the president's decision about, do I need to do it now, tomorrow, next week? Obama conducted an entire war with Libya and never asked for a permission slip from the Congress. What Trump did was, this guy was a fleeting target on the battlefield,
right?
And then we took him out. So the whole, I think, whether he was planning a killing an embassy or not, is completely irrelevant. And anybody who believes that he wasn't, I'm sorry, they're just an idiot. I mean, what do you think he was doing? Like arranging the Saturday night dance?
Yeah, right.
Baghdad?
You're right. No, it's heightened. I was surprised when this finally rolled out, because, you know, everything that's, we're in such a 24-hour news cycle that today they moved on to impeachment, or they moved on to Lev Parnas or whatever this guy's name is, and this story's kind of gone by the wayside. So,
I got to tell you, I was over the Hill the other day for a reception, and I was talking to a bunch of members and staffers, and they were literally gleeful at the president's critics about the Soleimani strike, that they, you know, them kind of complaining about the president of the United States protecting Americans, protecting our embassy, taking out terrorists. They were just laughing that somebody actually had an issue with that. They thought, yeah, it was like, could they just do this more? Could they do this more?
Oh, I know. It's true. You know, I know you're a baseball fan, Jim, and fortunately this scandal has not touched your Washington Nationals or our St. Louis Cardinals yet, but have you seen some of the allegations coming out now about this sign stealing cheating scandal with the electronic bugs on their body?
Yeah, no, I follow real foreign policy. Do you know that Vladimir Putin is trying to undermine the National Hockey League?
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yes. So he is blocking Russian players from playing in the National Hockey League because he has his own hockey league.
Oh.
So forget about these baseball guys. They are small potatoes. Putin cheats literally at everything, whether it's crossing your border or there is no aspect of Russian society that he will not stoop to cheat. I mean, he must be the world's greatest. So here's the thing is, are these guys working for Putin? That's my question.
That's a really good point. I think the Russians might have bugged
system. Forget about Trump. I'm worried about these baseball coaches.
You know, honestly, on the hockey thing, could he afford to pay? I mean, can they afford to start up a league and pay these Russian players as much as they're making over here in the NHL?
They have a huge global. Putin actually has a plan to replace the National Hockey League with his, I forget what it's called, KHL or whatever, with his, you know, Russian-based hockey league. They've got teams all over the world. But it's just, anyway.
I didn't know that.
But I'm with you. Thank God that the St. Louis and DC are at least appear to be up and up.
We've dodged it so far. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim,
I think
always
we won fair and square. Although that was a great series with you guys.
Yeah, it was. I would agree completely. Although we didn't bring our bats, but next time we'll get you next time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's hard to cheat on the signs when you didn't bring your bat to the game. Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, Jim. Thanks.
Okay, I'll still be laughing.
All right, thanks.
I'll still be laughing by then. All right.
All right. See you later. Jim Carafano, at JJ Carafano on Twitter. Hey, let me get to a break. I've got Joe Schaffstall coming up from the Washington Beacon with his story on Kim Gardner. You know, yesterday we had Jeff Rorta on the program, of course, with the St. Louis Police Officers Association. You can always listen to that on the website at 971talk.com/Cox. And we've got it up on Facebook and of course, on the webpage. You can listen to the audio on demand. He's being sued by Kim Gardner because he speaks on behalf of the police in St. Louis. She wants him to not exist anymore, is what she said the other day. Why does a Jeff Rorta even exist? You might ask that question about Kim Gardner. How'd she get elected? How did her fellow prosecutors or circuit attorneys from across the country who showed up on the steps down here get elected? Well, we have an insight into that, and we're joined this morning by Joe Schaffstall. Joe is a reporter with the Washington Free Beacon. Joe, great to get you on the radio this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've commented on who these ladies were who came to town and supported Kim Gardner. And we knew that when Kim Gardner ran for circuit attorney, she was part of a slate that was put forward by none other than George Soros, right?
That is correct. So what is happening, what all these attorneys and prosecutors that descended on St. Louis in to back Gardner, they're all part of an organization. No, I don't want to say an organization, but they're an effort to overhaul the criminal justice system. These candidates are recruited sometimes, or Soros, he has a person named Whitney Timas, and she pins point races across the country where there's far left attorneys that agree with his sort of viewpoint of reforming the criminal justice system. And what he'll do is he'll come into these cities and he'll dump a ton of money, anywhere between $100,000 and $1.5 million for these candidates. And in a DA race and a prosecutor race, $1 million is a lot of money. Most congressional candidates across the country don't even get $1 million for a race, most. And so when you're looking at these stats, they're crushing these opponents in fundraising. And there's nothing like they can do unless another big money donor came in to help. So basically what you're seeing is these people are at a major money advantage put there by Soros and others who are criminal justice left, far left people that want to overhaul the system, and it puts them at a major advantage. And so in St. Louis, you have a group of these people who are funded by Soros coming in to protect another person who was funded by Soros.
Yeah, very true. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right. Aramis Ayala, who's the state's attorney down in the Orlando, Florida area. She's one of the ones you said in your article who got $1.5 million from Soros.
Yes. She was on the higher end of the money from Soros. So he must have really liked her. Like I said, it's anywhere between $100,000 and $1.4 million. And this is an effort that has been going on for years. He's been quietly doing this for years, but now more people are starting to talk about it. While people were major donors were pouring a ton of money into federal elections, Soros doesn't really do that as or to politicians. He doesn't really do that as much anymore as he does the criminal justice reform aspect, because he's really big in overhauling the system as a whole.
Right.
And so what he'll do this stealthily, and there's no limits on how much money you can give to these people. So, like I said, it's just they put them at a major disadvantage. It's something to behold. It's smart. It's actually a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening. Joe Schaffstall is my guest right now. He's a reporter with the Washington Free Beacon. You know, in the end of your story there, you mentioned the Kim Gardner prosecution, or I call it a persecution, of former Governor Eric Greitens. You know, I don't know if Soros played a role in that, but if she had not been the prosecutor, that case never would have been brought. It had more holes in it than Swiss cheese.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing from the get-go, her hiring the former FBI agent as a private investigator instead of working with police, that just shows you that, I mean, no other attorney would have done something like that. A normal attorney would have worked with the police in a situation like that. There are obviously a lot of questions surrounding about how she went doing this. And then you had the investigator perjure himself. And then she refused to talk about it for a very long time until she was deposed. She was forced to go in to testify on her involvement. That's exactly the kind of people that would bring a case forward like this. These people wield a lot of power. I wish this kind of stuff would get more coverage, because a prosecutor, a DA, determines what crimes to prosecute, what not to, what to bring forward, what to squash. So in reality, a prosecutor and an attorney like Gardner wield a lot more power than a local congressman.
Sure. We you know what, something you, I'm not telling you how to do your job, but we had a local reporter here at KMOX radio down the hall, Kevin Killeen, who did a FOIA request and found out the rate of prosecution by Kim Gardner on felony charges versus the number of cases brought to her versus what she actually prosecutes, is at like 23%. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare it historically at this point, but what we know is she's just choosing to ignore a lot of crime in the St. Louis area.
Well, that's another thing these candidates that are funded by Soros do. They don't bring forward as much. They don't prosecute as much. They want to bring lower level charges for bigger level crimes. They want to reduce incarceration, and they do that through not prosecuting.
Yes.
And so they'll let a lot of stuff slip that would otherwise be prosecuted by an everyday normal prosecutor besides these people.
Well, it's pretty stunning. Listen, Joe, we appreciate your time. Joe Schaffstall, my guest there, at Joe Schaffstall on Twitter, and the website for the newspaper is freebeacon.com. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great having you on. Eye-opening. This Aramis Ayala, the one from Orange County, Orlando, Florida area, she's the one that right after she got in office, a police officer was killed by a suspect, and she immediately announced she wouldn't seek the death penalty. Hmm. To me, that's a slam dunk. Kill a police officer, you deserve to be considered for the death penalty. Ultimate crime. You deserve to be face the death penalty. They had to sue her over that.
I don't have time to get into the death penalty part, but it makes sense that all of these people have something in common.
They
aside
do.
From, you know, like, it would make sense there was somebody pulling the strings for this group.
Yep, and his name is Soros. That's the threat another threat we face there. We'll talk about it more coming up. I got Trish Regan up next.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Had to wait for the guitar lick before I could talk.
Obviously.
What a great song. All right, listen to this, folks.
The beatification process of Lev Parnas, who they trashed for many, many weeks. He's the czar of the grifters. If what they're going to do in the hours remaining before they actually turn it over to the Senate and we start this trial, is to bring up a guy that's under indictment, a guy that's a known grifter, a guy that had a company called Fraud Inc. that he ran into the ground, that the foreign minister of the Ukraine today said is a liar, said and nothing he said is true, that there weren't any meetings like this. If this is the best they do, it's gone from a sham process now to an absolute farce.
Yeah, that is Steve Bannon, and he was on with Trish Regan last night. Let's get to it.
Breaking right now.
Prime time.
The reality is politics affects our economy.
Trish Regan joining us right now.
Trish Regan, prime time.
All right, Trish, happy Friday morning. How are you?
Happy Friday. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. We're just listening to some of the Steve Bannon stuff this morning from your show yesterday. You know, this Lev Parnas, that the Democrats, I think, are walking on some thin ice with this guy. He's not the kind of character witness you want to drag in front of a bunch of attorneys in the Senate.
No, he's not. But, you know, that's why Steve was like, look, if this is who you've got, this grifter, who clearly was struggling to make a dime, his feeling is like, okay. Bring it on. Like, let's have him come up before the Senate and be questioned because he's not that credible. And it's just like, you know, you think about, like, the Michael Cohen example. You think about this. I mean, you have people that are really sort of willing to say anything and do anything just to keep themselves out of trouble. Right now he wants a reduced sentence.
Yeah, and Parvis, it kind of had a little tit for tat on CNN with the president, where he was saying, if he wants to keep saying that he doesn't know me, I'll keep rolling out pictures of us together. I pointed out earlier, you know, Bill Clinton came to town a few times when my father-in-law was on the security detail for the police, and he got a picture with Bill Clinton. I'll guarantee you today Bill Clinton would not know who my father-in-law was.
No, he would not,
no.
And he probably wouldn't know who my little sister was, because when he came to New Hampshire and I was about 19 years old and my sister was maybe 15, we have a picture as well. Look, that's partly what politicians do. I mean, you're in the public eye, you go out, you take pictures, and there are people that always want to get the pictures.
Yes.
Maybe
yeah.
Lev Parnas, you know, look, he was an associate of Giuliani's. He was close to Giuliani. I'm sure that Giuliani was connected with the president and was talking, but I don't know how much Lev would have had any access. I think Lev was effectively doing Giuliani's bidding. So, you know, you're talking about layers and layers here, and I think in any, you know, situation they're trying to protect the president sometimes from people like Lev Parnas, but nonetheless, it's coming back to bite him in some ways, in that Giuliani probably never should have hired the guy to begin with.
Yes, true. Trish, you think is there anything new here? The Democrats are claiming between the GAO report and what Parv has said that there's some new smoke here that's got to be investigated. I haven't seen it yet, but we have people like Romney, right?
Yeah, no, we read the transcript. You read the transcript. I read the transcript. And, you know, you've seen what has been said in terms of the Ukrainian president himself. In fact, the foreign minister is out with a new interview in which he says, do not trust Lev Parnas. He's a complete liar. So, you know, this is one of those he said, she said. Do you believe the president? Do you believe Lev Parnas? The Democrats want to believe Lev. I was joking last night that he's Saint Lev.
Yeah, exactly.
Effectively, anybody who takes their side, who advances their agenda, suddenly becomes incredibly virtuous, incredibly smart, all of these things. And anybody who is on or perceived as being on the president's side is just somehow a real dummy. And so they didn't like Lev in the beginning. Now they do. What do you know? Go figure. It's like John Bolton or Scaramucci or Michael Cohen. You name it.
What you know, the biggest story that didn't get covered yesterday by the mainstream news outlets, I saw the Media Research Center went back and looked at the tape. Zero commentary on the USMCA being signed. Very little coverage of the China trade deal. It was impeachment, impeachment, impeachment.
Of course, because you know what? USMCA, China trade, those actually take, like, you know, a little bit of brain power to cover, and on top of it are good things for the economy. I mean, we just got housing starts out this morning, okay? Not to nerd out on you,
but
17% increase. I haven't seen that in my entire career. I can't think of a month. And actually, I should, apparently it's like the highest in 13 years, so that's not entirely true. I've been in this business a lot longer than that. But I mean, certainly in recent history, I haven't seen anything like that. I mean, nobody thought it was going to be like that. In fact, they actually predicted a decline in housing starts. This is new construction activity.
Right.
So the reality is, like, things are moving. The economy is doing great. The China deal is a huge win for U.S. workers. USMCA, a huge win. The market proves it. And yet no one wants to talk about that stuff because they're so mired in impeachment. And guess what? The regular American public, they don't care about that. I mean, I think the example on Jeopardy the other night, right?
Yeah.
Where Alex Trebek asked the contestants, and these are usually pretty with it people, you know, who's this guy? They show Adam Schiff's picture, and no one had any idea. They had no idea who Adam Schiff, who led this whole impeachment thing in the House, actually was.
Yeah, that was a classic moment. We've got the sound of that, just so people can hear Alex Trebek's number 21 here.
U.S. Representatives for 12.
1/53 of California's House delegation is this Intelligence Committee chairman. His name is Adam Schiff. Back to you, Veronica.
Back to you, Veronica. I'll bet Adam Schiff needed a cocktail after he heard that. He can't believe there's somebody who didn't know who he was.
You know, but the president has said these are bad people, these are bad guys. Listen, I don't care, and I'm going to say this again, because my motivation is not political. My motivation is economic. I want the best thing for American workers, the best thing for our economy, the best thing for our future so that every American can enjoy the American dream. When I first saw this president's tax plan way back in 2015, I went, wow, this is a smart tax plan. I mean, so he may have, you know, other issues that people don't like, et cetera. But the policy, Mark, is fantastic. It is what we need right now. And the idea that the Democrats want to just derail everything and, frankly, derail our economy and derail our international stability, which we have right now, that's really shameful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more, and I'm so glad that you pointed it out. Listen, Trish, we always appreciate your time on a Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, we'll talk to you next week. I hope Trish Regan, there from Trish Regan Prime Time on the Fox Business Network. You can watch it every night about 7 o'clock here Central Time. Good stuff. Great point, too. That Alex Trebek thing was hilarious.
That was good.
But if you're not geeking out on it every day like we are, maybe you're not in the know. I don't know.
Again. And I feel right at home where I belong.
One of the original environmentalists, Uncle Ted.
I love that that's what you refer to him.
Absolutely. Did you have his book?
No.
He's got a cookbook. It's called Kill It and Grill It.
I'll
fantastic.
I've read it many a times.
Hey, this song, Great White Buffalo, I mean, he's one of the, he was singing those songs back in the 70s, folks. He's one of the original environmentalists. Earth Day was made for Ted Nugent. You know that, right? Because
yep.
He doesn't kill anything he's not going to eat.
He also,
so that should make everybody happy.
Wrote the greatest guitar riff of all time.
He'll tell you that, too.
And that's how I know, because he's the one who told me
he'll
when
tell
I saw
you.
Him live.
He'll tell you. He's not shy about that
no,
stuff.
No ego there.
No. Nope.
That song is called Fred Bear, if you want to go out and buy it, because you just heard it for the first time. I don't know what rock you've been living under, but that's it. Anyway.
I love when you introduce St. Louis to new music.
Hey, it's what I'm here for. That is the line of the day.
Apparently
right
it's getting
there.
Icy, not to sidetrack here, but there's icy conditions in Kansas City. Authorities say a plane has slid off the taxiway at the airport there due to icy conditions.
Yikes. Actually,
so it's.
I'm not a Twitter. I don't pay attention to Twitter often enough when I'm on the air, but somebody, actually, Ross, one of our listeners, tweeted at us almost an hour ago that they were starting to see a little bit of sleet out in Warrington.
Okay.
So we know it's...
it is definitely making its way.
Nothing downtown yet that I can tell.
Well, good. Let's get home before it happens.
Good. Lots of school closings. You can always go to the website here at 971talk.com. We got those up there for you. So, got a little link.
We do. Yeah, lots of them. So bummed about this.
On a lot of levels.
We need to understand, if you're just joining us, maybe Tricia, you could explain to the people why you're concerned that today is the day it decided to snow.
I don't like it. Oh, I'm supposed to get my furniture today. Do you think that they can get...
It's a conspiracy against Trisha's furniture.
It really is. And I had the option of having it delivered earlier in the week, and I chose this day so I could be home. Do you think that they can, despite the sleet and rain, and do you think that they can get a sectional up very steep concrete stairs?
That might be the problem.
What do you think the odds are there?
I think they're going to call and ask you to reschedule or tell you that you're going to
reschedule. Well, do they have to go up the stairs or could they go up through the grass?
They'd have to.
They have to go up the
very steep concrete stairs.
Well, that's what they get paid for. Hopefully they wore their cleats and they show up at all.
Or their ice skates. I don't care how you do it. Just get that furniture in my house, people.
I'm in the camp that. The weather doesn't matter. I've got to be here anyway, right? If I'm scheduled to work, you're not going to miss an air shift just because a little bit of... Mm-hmm. And so many people out there are the same way. They don't get off work just because it's going to snow a little. But driving a truck full of furniture around in these conditions, I don't know if that's going to affect your delivery schedule or not. Mm-hmm. I suspect it might.
I still am a big fan of everyone staying as home as much as possible so that those of us that do have to be somewhere can get there without having to worry about you that really don't need to be anywhere.
I'm with you on that. Call the furniture store.
Great point.
See if you can get a hold of the delivery people. Tell them you'll have a refrigerator full of Natty Light when they get there.
If they get stuck, they
can just hang out with you on your new sectional.
Time.
That's right.
Yeah, unless they're 21 and then they get free Natty Light anyway. That might not be it.
That's true. That's the story you had today is for 2020, they're giving people who turn 21... free beer.
Because that makes sense.
I thought the same thing. Why 2020?
I don't know.
Why
Maybe
not
next year that would have made more sense.
Because you certainly don't have 2020 vision after you drink a lot of Natty Light. Right?
Could so, be yeah, I don't know the connection.
Beer with... goggle.
Oh, Mark.
You should have stopped at that no bat joke with Garofano earlier.
You're supposed to leave on a high note. Did you learn nothing from George peak. Costanza?
Clearly, I did not.
I will give you another chance. You have a few more minutes to make up
for
it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I'll get to the phones here so you don't have to listen to my humor. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Yeah, hey, Mark. Don't let him razz you about the music. It's all good.
Thank you.
Ted, you know, have him on there once in a while. All you have to do is introduce him, and he'll go on autopilot the rest of the interview. So
I'd love to.
Yeah, but anyway, I called in to just mention about George Soros and our prosecuting attorney. I just don't know why people don't know this, but I mean, she's just following the Communist Manifesto. I mean, it's one of the planks of the Communist Manifesto: foster a leniency towards criminality. Look it up, folks. I just, if you know the playbook they're coming from, you can get ahead of things. And just look it up. I mean, that's all you got to do to know what she's going to do.
Yeah. Well,
so,
I mean,
I just thought I'd.
The Soros connection is not a surprise. When she was running for office, we mentioned it a lot. Guess who didn't mention it a lot? The St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the mainstream media here covering her candidacy every day. And the person with his arm wrapped around her on election night was none other than Lacey Clay, our local congressman here in Congressional District 1.
That's another one. That's another one who just follow the Communist Manifesto. You'll know what they're going to do next. Yep. Really, that's all you got to do.
Tom, thanks for the call.
You bet.
You bet. Uh-huh. Yeah, keep rocking there, brother. We appreciate that. That's good. Yep. It was that connection was not a surprise, but maybe the surprise is when you realize the success that Soros had across the country in major cities: Baltimore, Boston, Oakland, Orlando, St. Louis. I don't know how many others there are. Chicago, of getting his preferred candidates into office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the network part of it,
right,
is the shocker there.
It's a little disturbing when you think about it. Really is. So anyway,
makes sense.
It's been one of those days. But be careful out there. Stay tuned. Murray says this is going to come in waves today. We're going to get a little bit of sleet this morning. Could switch over to ice and then snow, and then tonight at some point it's going to warm up
and
rain like all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So which means it should all go away. Am I correct about that? It's going to wash it all away if it's 49 degrees.
It gets warm
by
enough,
morning.
But then it's supposed to get cold again. It's supposed to be pretty cold on Saturday.
Hmm.
So maybe a little bit of refreezing, but yeah.
But we should be able to travel on Saturday, right? Like get out on the roads again?
I would think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. You got somewhere to go? You got to go pick up furniture?
Got a hot date? No. We have a wedding. I'm just checking with you guys while I got you here.
Well, that's
to
awesome.
Ask the questions.
Do we have any questions?
No, I just ask them. You answered them for me. Thank you.
Good. No problem.
We give you permission to drive on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad we could help. I am. Hey, it's going to be a big week next week. The Senate is going to start the trial for the president. I think on Tuesday it's going to get a national coverage, although there's going to be some media restrictions, as Roy Blunt told us, for the media in the actual Senate. Well, they're going to be kicked out of there quite often when they're deliberating. Maybe not quite as much grandstanding. We'll see. I'm sure Kilmeade's going to be covering that this morning. He's up next. Annie Fry in here noon to 3. Be safe out there today. We'll see you Monday morning.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.